It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. About to be joined by Jake Mintz from Sesame's Family Barbecue. And so, like, when you see a tweet from the Ben and Woods account, you never really have to wonder who it's from. It's not you. It's me. Or Paulie. But when you respond to a tweet from Cespedes Family Barbecue, you don't know who tweeted. Was it Jake? Was it Jordan? Does that make sense?
They should just sign, like, yeah. You know, dash J-M. It was J.
Yeah, oh, no. J-M-J-S, right? So then you know who it is. Again, Ben and Woods, you don't need to worry about who's responding because you still don't have the password.
We've got J-M. I do. I actually could. I've been posting a couple of Instagram reposts lately. I've been trying a little bit more. We got JM today. Jake Mintz from Sesame's Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports joins us. Let's get him up on the YouTube stream. There he is. Good morning to you, Jake. How are you?
Hey, handsome.
I'm good. Hey, beautiful. Can I respond to the allegations?
Yes, please.
So the real barbecuties, the real hardos know. If the first letter of the tweet is capitalized, it's me. If it's lowercase, it's Jordan.
All right, ooh. So hang on. Jordan. It's a Jordan tweet that I responded to yesterday. And it was in response to the Chicago White Sox naming Grady Sizemore as their interim manager after firing Pedro Grifol. And Jordan said, very cool. One. Number two, he should give himself some DH at bats. Let's see some swings. This offense needs all the help it can get. And I tweeted, I'd actually love to see a player manager again someday, as long as they don't have a crippling gambling addiction. Like the last player manager. You watch that documentary, by the way?
Couldn't do it.
Really?
About Pete Rose? Couldn't do it. Couldn't bring myself to do it. I have so much disdain for that man.
Oh,
I couldn't get over it.
It won't change your mind. It will not change your mind at all, even in the slightest, man. But the player manager is one of those things, though, Jake, that is it's gone. It's never coming. I would say confidently, it's never coming back.
No. And that's just because the job of a manager is so difficult and so different compared to what it used to be. And the job of a player is different than what it used to be. Like they just take so much time and effort and attention to do both of those things. It's just, there's no scenario in which it would be worth it. I could imagine a setup where you could maybe have an interim player manager.
Yeah, interim.
Right? But maybe, you know, if like Paul Konerko was still in the White Sox or something.
Yeah, for like a week.
But I think,
do it. At the end of the season.
Yeah, for like a week.
Yeah, a week. That'd be a good bit.
It doesn't make sense. You see, so like something that even I think is impressive, like Logan O'Hoppe, who's a second-year catcher for the Angels, is their captain. He's their captain. That's amazing. He's like 12 years old, right?
Right.
The idea of a real big league player being a everyday manager is just completely ludicrous.
Now, you're having managers who have been playing more recently. Like Stephen Vogt with the Guardians was playing like, what, a year ago?
Last year.
Wasn't he? Yeah. He retired last year. So
No. 2 years ago. I believe his I think his final season was 2021.
Okay. No, so it feels like it was very soon,
though.
I thought
he was with the A's last year.
That players are getting into the dugout as managers much faster than they used to.
He was with the A's in 2022. But yes, guys are getting into the dugout much faster. And the reason for that is because they understand the state of play in clubhouses better than an older manager generally.
Sure.
And so you would assume they'll be able to relate to the players better. It's almost similar to, you know, if you're a cool 28-year-old teacher who knows the TikTok dances, like, your students might like you more. It's a similar thing. But to be a successful player and to be a successful manager, there aren't enough hours in the day.
Yeah, it's such an unfeasible thing in the way that, you know, everything is so specialized now. And that is one of the things that stood out about that documentary that you haven't watched and won't watch, is watching him play manage was just, it's weird. Like, it's just, I remember it when I was a kid, but to watch it now, it just makes no sense. I wanted to ask you. Oh, go ahead.
We had an example. I believe Nelson Cruz was a player GM.
For the WBC, right?
Yeah.
For the WBC.
That's right.
That's a little different. You know, you can't, like, DFAing yourself in an international tournament is different than pinch hitting yourself.
I can't even imagine. Guys, I'm going to take one here. I got this one, all right?
And I got, like, this one.
Right, well, you're a player manager for the Tier 1s.
I am a player manager for our baseball team. And, yeah, I had to start inserting myself in games because I also want to play. But it's and I performed, thank God. But if I also know that if I wasn't, and if there's a better option, I'll
take yourself
myself
out.
100%, yeah. Man. 100%, I'm
Jake,
old.
Jake Mintz is our guest from Sesame's Family Barbecue. It is brought to you each week by our friends at Granville Barbecue. Someone asked, did Ben was wearing that hat the whole time? No, I put it on to promote our friends at Granville Barbecue, who bring us our friends at Sesame's Family Barbecue each and every Friday.
I'm coming out there for the playoffs, boys. I'm coming. I'm going to get some barbecue out there.
Good.
I love that. Well, it's,
don't jinx it, but yes.
It certainly feels like it's more likely, as the Padres are up to 86% in Fangraphs to make the playoffs, but it's still a pretty tight race. Obviously, we've had a pretty nice couple of weeks here since the All-Star break, Jake, and things are going almost too well. Like, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, how can...
Yeah.
This is the San Diego Padres we're talking about. We don't get runs like this, but this is... They're the hottest team in baseball. Would you agree with that statement?
I would agree with that. And the schedule is certainly helping them out. If you could just play the Pirates, these Pirates all the time. I mean, what? You got the Marlins this weekend.
Yep.
Then the Pirates again.
And the Rockies.
And the Rockies after that. I mean, if you're not up 25 games in the wild card race by that point, that's an embarrassment.
That's what makes us so nervous.
As it should. You got the White Sox are still on the schedule. You got the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks in the last week of the year if you need to catch up on some ground. Things are looking nice in San Diego. I wouldn't even say the word division yet. Like, that's the boogeyman. Don't even utter that, okay? I know you want to manifest positive energy, but, like, let's not put the cart before the horse here.
I mean, manifesting positive energy is one thing, but also, you know, knowing how the game works and how quirky it can be and how bad a stretch can get at times. You can't really look at it. You just need to continue to beat those teams that you need to beat that are on the schedule. But I wanted to ask you, joined by Jake Mintz from Sesame's Family Barbecue right now. I know, you know, you're a big Orioles fan as well. Had to be a little bit of a sigh of relief that Jackson Holliday is back up and is hitting, you know, prodigious home runs at a pretty nice rate so far.
Yeah, he's a big old boy now. You know, a couple months in Norfolk do a lot of good. He is showing why he was so highly touted to come up to the major leagues at that age and have those expectations. It is difficult. He did not look right in his original stint with the Orioles. He was like 1-for-28.
Yeah.
Did not have a homer. It just wasn't the player that everyone was being promised and that he knew he could be. He went back down, worked on some things, came up with a bit more of an edge, and he's already hit 4 home runs over the last 2 weeks, I think. And it's the reason why you don't trade the guy at the deadline, right? It's a reason why these teams hoard prospects, which maybe isn't always a good thing. Also, not something that your team does.
No, really, ever. No, we can't relate.
But Holiday is showing why you don't give up on someone when they're 21 years old and have one bad 2 week stretch in the bigs.
No, the Padres have traded most of their prospects, but they keep their one named Jackson, who's 21 years old, and
yes,
he is he's continuing to absolutely tear it up. And we had the discussion this week, Jake. Jackson doesn't care about winning the Rookie of the Year. He really, truly does not. Does not. It's not.
You know
even
what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing because he ain't going to win it.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you because they're certainly now. They didn't get to go head to head. The Padres missed Paul Skeens both of these two series, so no head to head battle between the two. But Jackson certainly made a statement in Pittsburgh this week with his two home run, ninth inning dramatic home run game, and just continuing to. I mean, outsize, you know, you talked about Logan Ohapi wearing a C. We're going to ask Mike Schild at 9 o'clock about the leadership that Jackson Merrill, as a 21-year-old, is showing on a veteran-laden team every single day.
He's amazing. Merrill is amazing. And I think in a normal year, would have a great argument to win the Rookie of the Year. Paul Skeens is doing something historic. And unless he robs a bank or, you know, invades a country, I don't think you can take it away from him. He has a 1.99 ERA in 86 innings. He's going to get, I think he will finish in the top five in Cy Young.
Will they shut him down?
That's what I'm wondering. Now that they're under 500,
if they keep losing,
are they going to try to protect some innings and save some in September? And will that hurt him if he only gets to like 115 innings?
For the Rookie of the Year or the Cy Young?
For the Rookie of the Year,
it's not going to make a difference. It's like he's going to get to 120, 125, 130, and that's going to be more than enough. For the Cy Young, I don't think he has a chance just because of those innings, right? Sale is going to end up around 180. Wheeler will get over 200 probably. I don't think Skeens should win it, and that's not his fault. There's a reason that they built him up really slowly at the front half of the year. So now they have enough runway with him where I think they will let him continue to pitch. And the other thing is, I mean, he sells out the place when he comes home.
He does.
So they're not going to, you know, like it's a money-making operation.
That's a good point.
Now, the joke's on you because I just saw Paul Skeens just invaded Guatemala. So
it's over.
I think it's over.
Yeah, yep. It happened.
During the Olympics.
During the Olympics, yeah. What better time? What better time to do that?
Can
I know.
Talk about the Olympics very quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
I wrote something that's going up on Yahoo today about baseball in the Olympics and MLB in the Olympics. So for those of you who don't know, baseball existed in the Olympics for a long time. It got cut from the normal program in 2005. We had it in 2020 in Tokyo because host nations can propose it. We're probably going to have it in 2028 in LA. And there's a conversation within the game going on right now of should big leaguers be allowed to play, right? Should MLB pause the season for a week and a half and send all the stars to LA to do a WBC-style tournament? And I think yes, I think it's worth it. I think the upside is enormous. I think the logistics of doing it in LA are not that bad. I'm curious what you guys think.
We had this discussion too, and as we tend to do, kind of waffled back and forth on it. And all these guys say they want to play for country. They all do. So I say let them. It's midway through the season. They're built up. It's not like the WBC where, you know, guys aren't quite ready to ramp up yet, and they're really having to get hot way early. I think you do it, man. I really do. And I don't know if I guess you pause the season and just wait. Now it would be excruciating to be without, you know, Padres baseball every single day for a couple of weeks in the middle of the year, but it's every 4 years. I think they do it too.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think logistically it's just a nightmare to stop the season in the middle of the year. And the World Baseball Classic exists. We don't need, have every 2 years now, we have essentially a World Cup for baseball, once the WBC, once the Olympics. It's exactly the same thing, except everyone's going to go, the Olympics is kind of cooler because, you know, it's everyone's built up, which means the WBC probably has to go away. And they've invested way too much in the WBC to simply say, you know what, the Olympics, which we don't make a dollar off of,
true,
the Olympic Committee makes all of this, and we're going to give you all of our best talent and let them potentially get injured for the pennant races. It's just never going to happen. They're going to talk about it, but it's not going to happen.
So I think it will when it's all said and done. I think logistically you do it during the All-Star break. You start the tournament. The All-Star game would be July 11th and the opening ceremonies are July 14th. So you do the All-Star game, then you roll right into it with games in LA. You do it before opening ceremonies. A lot of nations do that. I think that Rob Manfred wants this. I think this is something that he sees as part of his legacy. And then in regards to the WBC, I don't think that they would do the Olympics in 2032 in Australia or in 2036 in, I think,
the, so just a one-off like, in 2020,
Chile and Indonesia. You just do it as a one-off and you say to the Olympic Association, like, whenever it's in a country that gives a big crap about baseball, we'll do the tournament because it's just worth it for the fan interest on the back end. We've shown that international baseball can develop interest, and I think it would do significant ratings. And you don't like the five rings and the gold medal, like that's going to mean a lot to these guys.
Big time. They all
and
say
I
it.
Think that the trade-off is worth it. And yes, the injuries are a big deal for hockey, which is a sport that you guys probably never even heard of before.
vaguely.
They have paused the season in the past. They're going to do it in 2 years.
Yep.
I believe the International Hockey Federation and the International Olympic Committee cover the cost of the insurance on player injuries. And ooh. I think that if that was the case for baseball, it would go quite a long way.
I like that. I can't wait to read your piece.
There's no insurance that can make you whole when you're tied for the wild card and your ace pitcher goes down during an Olympic game and is unavailable for the rest of the
maybe
season.
Maybe Grayson Rodriguez or something, right?
We had this with Edwin Diaz, and it stunk, mm-hmm. right? And I feel for Mets fans and for Edwin. But you can't look at the 2023 WBC and tell me that was not a huge success.
It was awesome. It was awesome. You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Well, good stuff as always, man. I can't wait to read the piece later on Yahoo Sports. Really appreciate you checking in with us on this fine Friday.
Another beautiful one. You guys take it easy.
Thank you, buddy. You too.
Jake Mintz, Hespedes Family Barbecue, brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. Paul Skeens now installing a military junta in Guatemala. I mean, he's just going to lose the Rookie of the Year on that alone. It's terrible. It's awful.
If he and Libby Dunn break up, we have a good shot.
That's a good point.
If they break up, Jackson Merrill wins, I think, going away.
But I don't know. Clearly that has given him some cachet. Oh, yeah. A 1.99 ERA is insane.
He's got like 107 Ks or something.
That's insane.
He's nasty.
He should be very much talked about for Rookie of the Year.
Well, I liked Don Arcillo's take the other day on, and Don Arcillo said they should have two. They should have one for a pitcher and one for a hitter.
Why not?
It's a no-brainer. Why not? Remember Crony got robbed by Devin Williams? Crony should have won Rookie of the Year, but Devin Williams got it after throwing 27 innings. That's what they talked about on the broadcast. Two. Just do two. Pitcher.
They already have AL and NL, too,
right.
By the way.
So pitcher and position player.
So four. You've got now four rookies of the year.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty much. Why don't we just make every rookie of the year end of the year.
Whatever.
And we all feel good about it.
Why are we hoarding these awards so tightly? Just everybody's going to get a participation trophy. No, he's the best pitcher rookie. He's the best hitter rookie. No brainer. Do it.
If you are interested in seeing Paul Skeens sitting on the bench at Petco Park next week and not pitching, we got some tickets to give away for the Monday game that he will not be a part of, but you can be a part of it when we come back. Your chance to win some Padres tickets next year with Ben Woods on 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The fan. Still can't believe you didn't watch any of that basketball game. I texted you, just to turn it on.
Can't
just,
you believe
just the last,
it?
If you just watched the last 7 minutes, you would have been enthralled.
Can't you believe it, though?
Even as a not huge basketball fan.
There he is.
That was quick.
Wow.
Usually I'm waiting for Adam to hit the bottom. He was ready with basketball.
He was ready to fire it.
I didn't even tell him that was coming. It was, it's the stakes. It's like any sporting event. What makes sports great, Woods? Stakes. Something on the line.
Like and ribeyes?
No.
Oh.
S-T-A-K-E-S.
No, the stakes are high.
And while a gold medal, I mean, I don't know if it's as high as an NBA championship. For the case of Team USA and the collection of talent, anything less than a win is, it's the embarrassment of losing to a lesser team. And not that Serbia, I mean, they had the MVP, the reigning MVP of the NBA anchoring their squad, couple of other NBAers, but then it's just a bunch of Serbian guys you've never heard of. Happen to be hitting some shots, though. And when you do that and you have an MVP on the floor, things get dicey. And they were down 17 in the first half, still down 11 with 7 minutes to go. And you could see at that point, it was like, this is like legacy time here. We don't win, and then we're playing Germany for the bronze medal. And I saw someone tweet.
Brilliant.
Do you think someone mentioned that, do you want to be known as LeBron's for the rest of your life, LeBron James, if you lose this game?
Oh, my God. LeBron's.
I mean, come on. This is your chance. You get one shot every 4 years. You don't want to be the team that loses the first Olympics in 20 years for Team USA. And it ended up being a pretty thrilling comeback and finish at the end. You had Kevin Durant hit a huge three, and then Embiid had his best game. And then it was Curry, and it was LeBron. Triple-double for LeBron James and Steph Curry. 36 points, made a ton of three-pointers, more than 50%, had his best game of the tournament. And they pulled it out, and they will now play. And this is, I would recommend you tune in on Saturday. They will play France for the gold medal, the host country, featuring... Who's France's most intriguing player?
Victor, very good.
Yeah, Wemby and France against Team USA, where the entire crowd
will be rooting.
Is going
hard.
To be rooting hard. Now, there's Basketball Woods is here. Thank you, Basketball
Woods. Great to be here, everybody.
And USA's gotten a lot of support while they're there because they got all the stars. You know, everyone wants to see them do well, but not against France. They're going to be the big enemy in this game on Saturday. Now, they should win. They'll be favored immensely. But as you can see, you hit some shots, anything can happen. It was compelling theater yesterday. One of the most compelling parts of this Olympic Games in France was that game against Serbia.
What time is the game on Saturday?
Ooh, good question. I know
that's
it's on
information
Saturday.
I need to know.
Let's see. Olympic schedule on Saturday. It is at... Basketball, men's 2 a.m.
Excuse me?
2 a.m. Oh, no, that's the bronze medal game. Sorry. You don't have to worry about that.
Tyler said 12:30.
12:30 is much better than 2 a.m. Yes, 12:30 Pacific time, gold medal game, France against USA.
I'm going to be watching our beloved San Diego Padres take on the Miami Marlins at 1:10. You can actually hear that game right here on 97.3 The Fan, a home of the Padres. So that's what I'll be doing. I can't wait for your update.
I have multiple screens.
You also don't have crippling ADHD, so I don't know what to tell you there. It's hard enough for me sometimes to pay attention to my beloved San Diego Padres game without drifting off into space, much less watching basketball on one screen and baseball on another.
All right. Maybe ask Mike Schilt. Could you just go ahead, put up like 8 in the first?
And then I can.
On Saturday, and then I can turn my attention, Woods can turn his attention toward a little basketball.
I don't think we should ask him that, he would do it. I think he would if he could.
I'm sure if he could.
He would.
All right, we got some tickets to give away for Monday's Padres-Pirates game at Petco Park. It is a 6:40 start. First 40,000 fans in attendance will take home a 1999 Tony Gwynn Henley jersey presented by Surf Pro. Those are like the three-button top jerseys.
It's a Don Henley Tony Gwynn jersey.
It's made by Don Henley.
Made by Don Henley.
Giveaway celebrates the 25th anniversary of Tony's 3,000th career hit, which was... August 6th, earlier this week. Jersey is available in 5 sizes while supplies last. Arrive early. Gates open 90 minutes prior to first pitch. We're going to give one to the 5th caller right now. 833-288-0973. Fifth caller gets a pair of tickets, 833-288-0973. You can learn more at padres.com/giveaways. We will come back. Adam has teased a fairly juicy edition of the Klug Report.
I like that.
For 835 coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Got more baseball coverage coming up at 9 o'clock in our manager's report with Mike Schilt from Miami. Jesse returning to his hometown of Miami this weekend.
It will never not blow my mind that Jesse Agler is from Miami. Never. It always will blow my mind.
It blows my mind that Adam Klug is from Georgia.
Yes, yes.
And went to the University of Georgia and grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't sound like a Georgian.
Texas. I don't sound like I'm from Texas.
You don't sound like a Texan. Adam doesn't sound like a Georgian.
Jesse Agler just doesn't seem like a Miami guy. Manny Machado seems like a Miami guy. He's got the flair and all of that. And Jesse Agler.
But we have stereotypes. People from other parts of the country assume in San Diego we're all beach going surfers.
Yeah, beach bums.
All the time. Right. And, you know, some of us
When's the last time you went to the beach?
Haven't gone yet this summer, so probably last year.
When was
the
that?
Year before, maybe.
In Hawaii.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
In Hawaii, yes.
I was just in Hawaii. Hawaii.
Yes. Yes, exactly right.
Here? No. But my wife, she goes all the time. She loves going to the beach.
Adam, are you, you've been in San Diego for a few years now. Are you guys beach goers?
We go to the beach nearly every weekend
during
the summer.
And I was wondering with my kids and my wife, since we got back from Hawaii, and everyone really enjoyed swimming in the bay and being on the beach, I still don't know that we'll go here, which is weird because we had so much fun.
Why not? What's stopping you?
The fact that you can't see under the water.
Yes. And the water temperature is a big one. It's butt cold.
Yeah?
Butt cold.
My son loves going out, and I'll put my feet in. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to do this.
Shocking.
But your kid keeps saying he wants to go. And so
you have to do it.
I went in last weekend, and it was frigid.
Do you wear a rash guard type swim shirt?
I recently told my wife I need to get one so I don't get sunburned, but I don't currently have one, so I don't have, you know.
In Hawaii, you walked into the water and you're like, this is it, man. It's just perfect. It was just perfect.
Now, there is one unfortunate stereotype of San Diego that is shamefully very true from the movie Anchorman. And that is our obsession with coverage on local news of giant panda bears. And I don't know if you turned in any of the channels yesterday, but we were wall to wall at Channel 10, Channel 8, Channel 7, Channel 5, Channel 9. Everyone live at the zoo for we called it pandemonium.
Of course,
such a Ben pun, but Anchorman kind of ruined it all for us because we literally were Brian Fantana live at the zoo in front of the panda exhibit.
Panda Watch.
And you can't go in there because they will eat your face. They are literally bears. They will eat your face. It was so ridiculous, yet so necessary as well in San Diego yesterday.
I was getting, you know, this morning as I was making my coffee, I looked at the TV and it was panda time on Fox 5. And I looked at Hannah and I go, this is, and she's like,
And they've been gone for 5 years. Yeah. This is the big return of the pandas.
Yeah, it's a
finally,
big deal. Yeah.
Finally, for people can go down and see them. The crowds at the zoo yesterday, we had the helicopter above showing the parking lot absolutely jam packed with people who wanted to get the first look at the new giant pandas at the San Diego Zoo. We had Joan Embry in studio. You remember Joan Embry? Used to be on the Tonight Show.
Sound familiar.
She was the animal person who went on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and would bring in different animals. San Diego Zoo representative. She was actually in Channel 10. I can't tell you how many times I saw her on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like every day you'd see Joan Embry with a different animal. Oh, I've got a koala. Oh, here's a lynx. And she'd take them in studio and show off the animals. As I was a kid, she was actually there yesterday, still doing her conservation work and talking about, rare and precious animals. It was incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's definitely something that we do and are doing. Pandemonium.
Pandemonium yesterday in San Diego.
You probably had to smile a little bit.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
Are the other stations bummed that you guys beat them to that punch?
I'm sure they all used it too. We didn't trademark it or anything.
So good. I like pandas, though. They're cute to look at. But like you said, they will absolutely rip your face.
So apparently, and I learned this yesterday with our pandemonium coverage. So you know how they have the black spots around their eyes, the very signature giant panda. And scientists have always kind of researched, why is it? Is it? It's not really camouflage. It doesn't help them blend into their environment. What is the purpose? And they have pretty much determined that pandas, that's how they identify each other. Like, they can recognize the difference in your little eye markings. They're all like fingerprints.
Oh.
And like, they'll remember for years, like, oh, yeah, that panda and I had beef. I remember that panda from a few years ago just based on his eye markings around his eye.
That's absolutely fascinating. Also sounds made up.
Does.
Very, very. No, there's no way to know that. But there, it sounds really, really
fascinating. Eye black. Like Jackson Merrill is going full panda around his eyes.
He did last. Yesterday he went, and Ed Mudd called it full Alice Cooper. You want to talk about an eye wash bit. Is the eye
black. Does it really do anything? No. I didn't think so either.
No, it doesn't.
They
say that it cuts down the glare.
But I can't see my cheeks.
But the funny thing is, when you put it on, all you stare at is the eye black below your eyes. It's never worked for me. My kids love it because, let's be honest, it looks badass. When just the two little, just one on each side, that's all you need. You know, the whole Bryce Harper thing. I don't know. I've never done that.
I question whether any outfielder in history has ever caught a fly ball that
because
they would have dropped.
Yeah.
Because they had eye black on.
Yeah, thank God I had that on today. Because I forgot.
I would have lost that one. They still lose things
could
in the sun all the time.
Could have just worn sunglasses, but you know.
Yeah. That's
who was it? It wasn't a Padre, fortunately. They had the sunglasses on their head, or was it? It was Peralta. It was.
Yeah, it was Peralta.
He had sunglasses on his head and lost one in the sun.
Happens like, all the time. In
maybe
baseball.
I should put these on since I've got them out here for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think it looks cool. I think that's why guys started doing it, and it looks cool to wear.
Totally
it.
With you. The sun was going to go directly in my eyes, but I put this little black strip, and then the sun diverted its rays to underneath my eyes.
Right, and now there's no glare. Please. It's very eye washing.
Never got that. I really well. It's the opposite
it's
of eye wash.
It's eye black. Dirt. Yeah. Let's do the Klug
traffic
report.
And then traffic, the Klug report next here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our. Edition, today's edition of the
Klug Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the
Klug
Report. Right. Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed. It's the
Klug
Report on 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
He is back, and he is ready to go. And I'm excited for the Klug Report. Adam.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good morning.
A few days ago, in this very similarly named segment, the Rindle Report, Paulie highlighted American sprinter Noah Lyles after he won gold and had a very inspirational tweet about overcoming several things in his personal life to achieve
allergies,
ultimate success.
Asthma, depression, anxiety, among the things I think he tweeted about.
Yesterday, Lyles won another medal. He won the bronze in the 200 meter. And moments after the race, he told reporters that he had tested positive for COVID-19 2 days earlier. Still won a bronze. Said after testing positive, he left the Olympic Village and quarantined in a hotel, took some meds, and he was allowed to remain and participate in the race. How impressive is it that he won the bronze after testing positive for COVID?
I've had that new strain of COVID. It knocked me. Now, I'm not a world-class athlete either, but it knocked me on my ass for like 2 days. All I did was sleep. So everything these guys do is impressive, and what he's already overcome is impressive. That is very impressive as well.
You always wonder, now, could he have won gold if he had been
fully healthy?
Now, I heard Chris talking about this yesterday. And people were like, I was the mask up guy and like, oh, what do you think about this? Is this risky behavior? Like, that was before we had vaccines.
Now
you can choose to or not to, personal decision. But now that we're protected, if you want to go outdoors and do what you can. Now, I would recommend if you're going to be tight, caught up in a bus or anything and you have COVID, you should either stay away or be masked up in that situation if you know you have it. But now it's a different time. Before that, yeah, you wanted to protect those vulnerable around us and stay away from them, and we had to do that before. It's a little different now. COVID's still around, but obviously because so many of us have gotten vaccines, we're okay, and I'm okay with Noah Lyles competing if he could, and, yep. and he did, and congratulations to him.
In case you guys missed it, a couple days ago, NFL Network was broadcasting live at Seattle Seahawks practice. And while they were on live TV, a fight broke out in the background. This is on Wednesday. And you can see DK Metcalf take his helmet off and hit a guy in the head. Similar to, remember, a couple years ago with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
Yep.
He literally hit his teammate in the head with a helmet.
I don't know that it was his teammate. Wasn't it? Was it a two-team practice?
Yeah,
I think it was a two-team practice. If I'm not mistaken, I vaguely remember seeing this tweet. But, yeah, I mean, it was a
other guy had a helmet on, too.
Yeah, but still, you can't swing
I mean, if you swing a helmet
like
at someone
weapon.
Without a helmet on, that's a crime.
Yeah, dude.
It's not great, even if they do have a helmet on.
Also,
but these fights are in training camp are so... Like, the coaches, like, want them to happen.
They're
like, okay, we need to have a fight today.
100%.
It's like part of training camp, you know, ritual that you got another team out there, even with your own team.
Or with your own team, yeah.
We need a fight today. And they'll actually tell veteran players, I need you to start.
Oh, dude.
A fight.
I don't know if you guys...
Just to kind of mix things up with this team.
Did you guys see the Ryan Clark thing that he was talking about when he played for the Steelers in Antonio Brown, the day he got... paid when he got his huge deal from the Steelers. Ryan Clark said he's going to be insufferable. Now, he was a great player. This is like the coolest behind the scenes video I ever heard. AB was out there and he was running mouth, talking trash to his own defense and playing against him. And he said by the end of practice, it was full on war, like full on. We're not pulling any punches. Roethlisberger, even with his red jersey, you're getting hit. AB's getting forearm shivers. He said it got. He said it was the most intense practice he'd ever been a part of. And it's one of my favorite parts about football is when they show those in. You know, you got to have it sometimes. You got to have it out with people on your own team. Adam and I have had it out plenty. Right? I've never hit you with a helmet. Right?
Did anybody
in most workplaces, you can't resort to physicality.
Correct.
But on a
So yesterday, new Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald, who our audience would know as an NFL head coach,
based
if they
on
listened
real
to
or
Real
Fake.
Or
fake.
That's
right. Well, I was trying to trick everyone, thinking Mike McDaniel is the head coach, Mike McDonald. They're both head coaches now.
Mike McDonald said, "Quote: DK is a leader on this team. We look to him as he goes, we go." You guys think that that's what leadership looks like?
I wouldn't mess with DK Metcalf.
Guess what? If they end up winning a bunch, they'll say that's leadership. And if they lose, it's
unhinged behavior.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the only difference between the two things is whether the team starts winning or losing after it.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
And finally here, guys, Ben and Woods has pretty much become the official home for fringe sports controversies. You guys covered the bass fishing controversy with weights inside the fish.
Great story.
You had the hot dog eating controversy, right, where the contestant stole the plate?
Yep. We talked about that at the hot dog contest, the plate counting controversy.
I think I know where you're going here.
I'm going to take you guys over to South Russia right now, where the Dagestan Chess Championship was taking place. And security camera footage caught 40-year-old Russian chess champion Amina Abakarova sneaking into the chess tournament room, checking to make sure that the coast was clear, pulling something out of her bag, and then she poured a substance onto the board and rubbed it all over the chess pieces of her rival.
Correct.
And then exited the room.
But I have
the security footage.
But what would you put on chess pieces that would
poison? I will tell you.
What?
Abakarova was targeting 30-year-old Umayganat Osmanova, who subsequently became ill during the match. A tournament judge got suspicious, checked the security footage, and Abakarova then admitted to police about the attempted poisoning of her rival. She told police she broke a thermometer, spread the mercury over the board and the chess pieces in an attempt to poison her rival.
Like, that's like mercury poisoning is going to be fatal.
Yeah, 100%.
That's insane. I thought they were going to be like a prank, like baby oil in the pieces, and they kept slipping out of their hands or something.
Baby oil.
So now you can see it up on our YouTube feed.
There she is. Yeah, she's walking. It looks like a classroom almost with desks set up with chess boards. And she walks over to one specific board, kind of looking over her shoulder, pulls something out of her bag, and now surreptitiously, looks like painting or dropping something right around the pieces of her opponent. It'd be white pieces. I guess she knew she was going to be the black pieces.
Yeah. That's staggering.
I mean, she's so carefully looking around. Don't you look up in the corner and see the camera?
There are other people in the rooms, by the way.
But,
yeah, there's people in the corner of the room.
In the bottom.
In the bottom.
And you have to know that you're being watched in because they have to watch these competitions.
I guess it would feel like it would be impossible to cheat because, I mean, the game hasn't obviously started yet. The pieces are just set up in their neutral position. So it's not like, hey, if I steal her queen and she shows up tomorrow and there's no queen, I'll have a huge advantage. No, they'll just find another piece and put it back. You would think there'd be no way to cheat.
If she did put baby oil on there, as you suggested, you could just get new pieces exactly. And wipe them off. It's not that this is taking it to the next level. Is the poisoned okay? Like, she okay?
As far as I know.
Oh, my God. Many people will say that's what you have to do to get an edge to win. I'm not one of them. I like to get an edge, certainly, but I don't want to poison anybody.
All right, one in San Diego poison Paul Skeens while he's here,
right.
Just so Jackson Merrill wins the rookie.
That's exactly right.
Can we be clear about that? That would be a don't do this moment. Correct. That's a whole different segment.
God, that is terrible.
Thank you, Adam. That's
great job.
Very good report today.
Brandon Woods, the home of fringe sport controversies.
That's right.
On Monday, we'll get an Italian Paul Reindl report with his Godfather music and everything, and probably a Formula One story and maybe a Mets story from Frank.
We'll look forward to that.
For what it's worth, Abba Karava faces 3 years in prison if she's convicted.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
She's definitely going to get convicted. It's on camera.
You know, that poisoning people. That's the Russian, like, the spies. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
It's a big thing in Russia. Poison.
She claimed her rival had been bad-mouthing her and her family after winning a previous chess tournament.
Good Lord.
Chess trash talk.
Oh, that is gnarly. All right, we'll come back. Mike Schilt will join us from Miami. Our manager's report with the skipper of the Padres and birthday boy coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.